Today we're going to be studying the third chapter of the laws of Yesodei HaTorah, the fundamental principles of the Torah.
Aleph, the first halacha.
Hagagalim hem nekroim shamayim urekia uzvul v'argus. The spheres are referred to by the names shamayim, heaven, rekia, firmament, zvul, argus. These are the names. From Tisha Gagalim, there are nine spheres. Gagal carved men or gagal hayareach. The sphere closest to us is the sphere of the moon. Hasheni shalamayim men who gagal shabav kochav and ikra kochav. The next sphere is the one that has the planet known as Kochav, Mercury, in it. The third sphere is the one that has the planet Venus in it. The fourth sphere has the Sun in it. The fifth sphere has Mars in it. The sixth sphere has the planet Jupiter in it. The seventh sphere has the planet Saturn in it. The eighth sphere has all of the other stars that are seen in the firmament. The Gagal Chi is the great sphere that turns every day from east to west. That encompasses everything else. Now the fact that we see all of the stars as if they're in one sphere, even though some are higher than the others, specifically the planets are lower than the stars, and yet they all appear to be in the same place in the sky. Because these spheres are pure and clear like crystal, and like sapphire. This is why the Kochavim, the eighth sphere, appear to be under the first, and we can see all of the stars from the first goggle up to the eighth clearly and without distinction as to where they actually are. Each of the spheres of the eight which have stars are divided into a lot of spheres, one above the other, like the layers of an onion. Some of these spheres turn from west to east, and some of them turn from east to west, like the ninth galgal that goes from east to west. There's no empty space between these galgalim. Now, obviously, what we're talking about here is the rotation of the heavenly bodies. And this is ascribed to the circular movement of the sphere. And the planet or star is moving as a result of this movement. Gimel. Kol gagalim einen lo kalim v'lo kvedim. None of these spheres are either light or heavy. Ve'en lahem lo ein adam v'lo ein shachar v'lo sha'enos. They have no color, not red or black or any other color. V'zesh en ron osam. Kenat Cheles, what appears to be blue, the sky, Lamar So'ayim Vavadhu, that's only because of the appearance of the eye. Lafi Gova Avir, because of the height of the air. But there's actually no color there. Chenelem lo tam lo reach, they have no taste or smell. Fishenelo hamu'urim mitsuyim ala begufa shalomat mehem. These phenomena, these accidents, occur only to creatures that are lower than them. The spheres are not susceptible to the kind of things that happen to the lower elements. In other words, these spheres represent a higher kind of element. Again, although I said I really cannot translate this into modern terms, perhaps what we're talking about here are forces and energies rather than physical matter as we know it. And perhaps in some way we could reconcile that concept with modern physics. But I'll leave that to those of you who are experts in physics. Dalet. Kol ha-galgalim wa'elo makifnes ha'olam. All of these spheres that encompass the world. Hen agulim k'kadur. They're round like a ball. V'atzlui v'amts, and the earth is in the middle of these spheres. V'yesh l'miktis min ha-gachavim g'galim k'tanim. Shinkavuim behen. Some of these stars have small spheres that are set in them. And they do not encompass the whole world. They have orbits outside of the world, the earth. See, there's these two orbits. There's a small orbit that does not go around the earth, and there is a large orbit that does go around the earth. So there are two motions here. Just like in modern science, we'd say the moon has an orbit around the earth, and the earth has an orbit around the sun. The Rambam is not using that model, but if we use that model, it just goes to show that the moon is orbiting both places. It's orbiting the earth, and at the same time, it has a second orbit orbiting the sun. That's exactly what the Rambam is saying, although he's talking about how the stars, some of them will have their own orbits at the same time as they have a larger orbit which goes around the earth. Hey, paragraph 5. Misvukol gagalam amakipim eskal olam shmona asar. There's a total of 18 spheres that encompass the whole world. Because we mentioned already that there are several layers of gagalam. Umizvukol gagalam aktanam shenam akipim shmona. The smaller orbits, the suborbits, are 8. From examining the stars and seeing how much they rotate every day, every hour, as well as from their movement from south to north, from north to south, as well as from their height above the horizon, and their closeness, by this examination we can come to the conclusion of how many of these spheres there are, the tzuras alichosan, v'derach hakafosan, the form that they go, and the orbit that they describe. This is the science of figuring out seasons, of astronomy. The Greek sages made many books about this subject. Paragraph Vav. Galgal chi shumakav esakol, chokiu hachomim hakadmonim l'shnei masa chalokim. The great ninth sphere, which encompasses everything, the early wise men divided it into 12 portions. And they described named these different portions of the sky by the forms that the stars, that is the constellations that were actually under the ninth galgal, took. These are the constellations. Their name of the 12 constellations are Tla the lamb, Shar the ox, Tumim the twins, Sarta the crab, Aryeh the lion, Basula the virgin, Maznayim the scales, Akav the scorpion, Keshis the bow, Gedi the kid, Dili the bucket, Dugam the fish. Zion, paragraph 7. Galgal chi atzmo ein balo chaluka v'lo tzura mikol atzura so'ela v'lo kochav. The ninth sphere does not have any figure or image, or no star or planet. And v'chibra kochavim shavagalgal ashmini hu shiira b'kochavim gedolim shabo tavnes atzura so'elo o korav mehem. It is the combination of the stars in the eighth galgal among the larger stars that these images, the 12 figures described, or things resembling them, are made. Now, these 12 constellations were these 12 parts of the sky during the time of the Great Flood. That's when these names were coined. But now, they've already changed their position somewhat. Because all of these stars in the eighth sphere also rotate, as do the sun and the moon. Elashen Sovim Bechvedus, but their rotation is a much longer time. The amount of time that it takes for the sun and the moon to go in one day, so it would take a star about 70 years to travel in its orbit around the earth the distance that it takes the sun and moon to travel a day. In other words, the sun travels 1 degree in a day, and the stars will travel 1 degree in 70 years. So to notice a change in the position of the star would take hundreds or perhaps even thousands of years. But nevertheless, change indeed there is in their position. The Rambam continues, paragraph Ches, Kol ha-kochav manirim yesh mehen kochavim ketanim sh'aretz gedolim echad mehen. Of all of the stars that we see, there are some small stars that the earth is larger than them. There's some large stars, each one of which is many times greater than the earth. The earth is about 40 times the size of the moon. The sun is about 170 times larger than the earth. The moon is approximately 1/6,800 of the sun. In all the stars there are none larger than the sun. And none smaller than the star known as Kochav, the planet known as Kochav, that is Mercury. Paragraph 10. All of the stars and the spheres all have intelligence. They are all living beings, not dead mechanical things. They're alive, they stand, and they recognize the creator of the world. Each one, according to his greatness and his quality, praise their Creator, as do the angels. V'shem sh'makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just as they recognize the Holy One, blessed is He. Kach makir m'sasman, they recognize themselves, they have self-awareness. Makir m'samalachim sh'lamayla mehem, and they recognize the angels that are higher than them. V'dasa g'chavim v'gagalam m'utam midasa malachim u'gdolam midas b'nei adam. The knowledge of the stars and of the spheres is less than that of the angels, and greater than that of man. Now, according to my understanding of Rav Sadia, he would disagree with this. He feels that the stars are made out of the same kind of material that this world is made out of. He feels that they are susceptible to change, and presumably he would feel that they have no intelligence, that they're not animate beings. But the Rambam feels that they are. Although this seems, again, once very foreign to our present-day notion, who is to say and who is to know? Since the Rambam's view is, even if it's one view and there are others, it is in fact a view within Torah, and we may be surprised to find out that there is a reality to this that we couldn't even imagine nowadays. At any rate, paragraph Yud. Bora kelamata megagala yureach golam echot shenek golam agagalam. Under the moon, God created a matter that is not the same matter as the spheres. Ubara arba tzuras agolam zan. There are four forms to this matter. Venika tzuras agolam. They're not the same kind of forms as the spheres. Venikva kal tzura v'tzura v'miktas golam zan. And in a part of this matter, there are different forms. Surah Rishona. No, the Rambam apparently, in his view, there's no vacuum over here. There's no emptiness over here. The spheres fill everything up. And what about after the last sphere, the sphere of the moon? Well, that's also filled up. That's filled up with certain matter, and there are four different forms within this matter. Surah Rishona, Surah Sa'esh. The first form is the form of fire. Neschabra v'miktas golem zeh, v'niyah mishneyam gufo esh. This is attached to part of this matter, and this is from which the element of fire comes. Now that's up in the sky. We don't see it. It doesn't look like fire, but it's there. The Tzura Shnia, Tzura Saruach. The second form is the form of air. Nischabba v'mitzah, so this was joined to some of this matter. V'niya mishneim gufaruach, and together they formed the body of air, or wind. The Tzura Shlish is Tzura Samayim. The third form is the form of water. Neschabba b'mitzaso. And this was joined to some of the matter. V'niyem Mishneim Gufamayim. From this water was formed. Zoravistus Haaretz, and the last form is that of earth. The Schaba B'Mitzosa was joined to some of them, to some of the of this matter that's under the last sphere. The Nia and the Shneim Goras, and together that form the matter, the substance of earth. Under the sky, under the firmament, there are four bodies, one under the other. Each one encompasses the one below it, from all sides, like a circle. The first body nearest the sphere of the moon is the body of fire. Under it is the body of wind, which is presumably the atmosphere. Below it is the body of water, the ocean. And the lowest is the body of earth. There is no empty space without body at all. All of space is filled up. These four bodies have no souls. They have no understanding. They're like dead bodies. They're not animate. Each one of this has a nature that it doesn't know and understand or and is unable to change. It's just the way it is. This is what David says, Hallelujah, Hashem and Aretz, Taninu v'chol tomos, Eshavar shelav v'kitar, praise from Hashem, all of the earth, the fish, and all of the depths, and this and the fire, and the hail, and the snow, and the frost. Bearing in advarm, meaning of this is, Hallelujah, b'nei Adam, migvuroso. The question is, if these things do not have intelligence, how can they praise God? The answer is, let man praise God because of his strength. Shachir v'esh, that you see in the fire, b'barad, and in the hail, v'shabrum, and the other creatures. Shachir l'matam, and rekiah, that you see lower than the sky. Shivurasam tam, and nikaris, the cotton l'gadol, because the might of these creatures is always recognized to the great and to the small.